You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This year's NFL draft class has so many talented Alabama prospects that we're going to need two podcasts to go through all of them. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook or join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. On the show today, we'll be joined by Luke Robinson from Locked On Alabama here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and we're going to go through all of the Crimson Tide prospects in this NFL draft. Every year it's a long list, but this year in particular, a lot of guys in the Bears draft range, so many that it's a long conversation, too long for one podcast, and we're going to have to split it up between today and tomorrow. So today, we're going to focus specifically on the offensive players, most notably Mac Jones, the quarterback, and the three Alabama offensive linemen in this draft that are, again, all right there in the Bears draft range. So we'll get a sense of how that supporting cast played into Mac Jones' success, what his projection looks like at the NFL, and where these Alabama offensive linemen might fit at the next level. But I want to start briefly with the re-signing of safety Tashawn Gibson, brought back on what's presumed to be another one-year, pretty cheap-type deal. The Bears don't have a lot of salary cap space at this stage in the game, so little that we expect them to still have to make some kind of salary cap move to even be able to sign their draft picks. But it marks the first time in a number of years where the Bears have had the same starting safety next to Eddie Jackson for consecutive years. You know, it was Adrian Amos in 2017 and 2018, and then 2019 was transition to HaHa Clinton Dix, and 2020 the transition to the first year of Tashawn Gibson. So some continuity on the back end should be good for both of them, even if Gibson, you know, now turning 31 this offseason, is not in the prime of his career. He's going on a full decade in the NFL, and he's not a top-end NFL safety, but we saw he can be a reliable option back there. Not a guy who's going to get burned all the time, but not the guy who's going to step up and make super impressive plays. He's just, you know, a fine veteran starting safety in the NFL. And I've seen some discussion about whether this re-signing will affect the Bears' plans in the NFL draft. And I think first and foremost, re-signing Tashawn Gibson was likely always part of the plan, that whether it happened, you know, April 18th or March 21st, I think that it was always going to be an expectation here that he would test the market and see what was out there and then likely return to Chicago at the same deal as opposed to trying to go somewhere else and liking what he had with the team. And it just kind of makes sense to make that happen again. And so does that prevent you as the Bears from drafting, say, Trevon Moehrig in the first round, the safety from TCU? I don't think Gibson as a player is so good that you ignore a potentially talented player at that same spot, understanding that you can start Gibson this year, or you could have a rookie compete and you don't owe anything to Gibson if you were to just cut him and start your rookie safety. But I think the Gibson signing says something more about the safety market in particular, and I think that is what would enter my decision-making process if I'm the Chicago Bears. I have to ask myself, just how valuable is that position right now? Of course, Eddie Jackson is extremely valuable, but when you are still able to get a quality starter like Tashawn Gibson late in the free agency process on an extremely cheap deal, and you can look around the free agent safety market and still see a decent number of other comparable type players still available, each with their own baggage and their own red flags and their own reasons as to why they're still available late in this draft, I find myself less inclined to want to invest big in that spot in with a draft pick or in free agency, knowing that options like Gibson have been consistently available each offseason. It's been 3 years in a row now that the Bears have been able to do this. And I look at a guy like Trey Boston, who's been a free agent like each of these last 3 years and played at a pretty darn high level with the Cardinals and the Panthers the last 2 years, and he keeps coming back on these one-year type deals. And it just seems like you can always find a quality average safety available at a reasonable price. So there's less incentive for me to want to use an early draft pick at that position, knowing that I can find some replacement level talent pretty easily. Because when I look at the Bears secondary and secondaries in general, the rule of thumb is that opposing offenses are always going to try and attack you where you're the weakest. And so whether that's one of your two starting cornerbacks, whether that's your slot cornerback, your linebackers, or one of your safeties, they're going to try and isolate that matchup and get their best player on your worst player in coverage. And so when I look at this Bears secondary, safety next to Eddie Jackson is not the number one concern there. I think right now the weakest spot is that slot cornerback position where it's Duke Shelley versus Kendall Vildor in a competition there. And you could draft Trevon Moehrig from TCU and play him in the slot as a rookie and then move him back to starting safety in a year or two. And that would totally make sense for me and would be a nice fit with this team. But otherwise, until that other safety spot is my weak link and I feel like, okay, I really need to upgrade that from Tashawn Gibson or whatever veteran I'm starting there, I'm less inclined to want to use early draft picks there. You know, if Moehrig or another safety is my best player available on my draft board at any of my picks, it's not going to stop me from drafting that position, but I am going to value other positions more because I know safety is easier to fill elsewhere compared to offensive linemen or wide receivers or a lot of other positions that tend to cost a little bit more. So it's not about re-signing Gibson himself, it's more about the overall market. And the market in the NFL draft is a strong one for offensive linemen, including three prospects from Alabama that we're going to break down with our friends from Locked On Bama next on Locked On Bears. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. So if you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. I think Built Bars are really the Alabama of the protein bar industry because they only put out amazing products every single time. Right now, for a limited time, they have the coconut brownie chunk back in stock. And I'll tell you what, I just ordered a mixed box with my favorite flavors, but now that the coconut brownie chunk is back, I ordered another box because I know they're not going to be around for long, and it truly is the best of the best flavors. It won the Built Bar bracket for a reason. But you can't go wrong with any of the 18 flavors. They're all soft and easy to chew, covered in 100% real chocolate, but they're low sugar, low calorie, high fiber, and high protein. You really got to try them for yourself. Trust me, you will not regret it. Go to BuiltBar.com and enter our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Don't forget, the Locked On Podcast Network has tons of Chicago sports coverage for you every single day. Locked On Cubs right now, previewing the upcoming series with the New York Mets. Locked On White Sox, recapping their game against the Cleveland Indians. Locked On Bulls looking at a big win over the Boston Celtics, and Locked On Blackhawks trying to make sense of another loss to the Predators in a really tough matchup there for Chicago. So when you're done with today's episode of Locked On Bears, go check out all of our other Locked On Chicago podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts. Today we are turning our attention to the Alabama Crimson Tide for a deep dive on some of the prospects all surrounding the Bears' picks, specifically at positions of need. It's going to be a two-part conversation because there's just so many Alabama prospects to go through. So today, we'll start with the offense. So joining us now on the Locked On Bears podcast is Luke Robinson. He's one of the hosts of Locked On Bama here on the Locked On Podcast Network, one of our resident experts on the Crimson Tide. And Luke, is this time of year for you exciting, or does it get old when you always have two dozen Alabama players in the draft each year? Or do you kind of just get bored with it by now?
No, man, I'm going to tell you, I've been an Alabama fan for a long time. And I think it was 07 that Alabama didn't have anybody drafted, like in any of the rounds. And that hadn't happened in a long time, to not even have somebody like in the seventh round or the fifth round or whatever. And so I've taken it upon myself to always appreciate what we're dealing with right now, which is the greatest dynasty in college football history. And that may sound like a homer talking, but I think the statistics back me up. And I love the NFL because I love watching former Alabama guys. And I was a Miami Dolphins fan growing up, spoiler alert. But I drifted away from the NFL because fewer and fewer Alabama guys were going into it. And so I couldn't really wrap my arms around any team. And now that so many Alabama guys are in there, I just sort of pull for them. I mean, I like the Bears. They've had John Mangum, Mark Anderson. You know, I remember some of those guys being with the Bears. But, I love watching Julio Jones or Amari Cooper or Derrick Henry or the litany of the Alabama guys that are in the NFL right now. So, no, it never gets bored for me. In fact, it's the opposite. The draft, to me, is as much fun as any NFL game outside of the Super Bowl.
It really is an exciting time of year to be able to add different talented prospects like this for any team. I imagine following Alabama players, you could probably have a reason to root for any of the 32 teams. And I'm going to add to that list this year with a lot of really talented players. I want to start at the top with, I don't know, and not, probably maybe not even the first Alabama player drafted, but the one getting the most discussion this season, Mac Jones, the quarterback, a very, I don't know if polarizing is the right word to describe him as a prospect, but a wide range of opinions on where he stands. Kind of a one-year out of nowhere, you know, takes over for Tua Tagovailoa and it just explodes onto the scene at Alabama. What were sort of your expectations for Mac Jones coming into this season, and how do you see his projection to the NFL?
I'm going to tell you something. I think Mac Jones has become the villain of this draft. Look, every time there's a draft, there's somebody that all the pundits have to point to and say, this guy's underappreciated and this guy's overrated. And I think Mac Jones has become the, hey, he's just overrated. You've heard all the stories. He's got all these five stars around him. He's got all day in the pocket. He throws it up there and the Heisman Trophy winner goes and gets it, or another first rounder goes and gets it in Jalen Waddle. I mean, look, all that's true. I mean, he's had a lot of five stars. He's surrounded by a lot of talent. But you know what? Mac Jones also led the most prolific offense in Alabama history through an entire SEC schedule where they didn't even play the worst two teams in the conference. The worst two teams in the conference were South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Alabama didn't get to play them this year. They played all the other top teams in the conference. And then they moved on and played a very game Notre Dame team. And they played – that had beaten Clemson, by the way, and an Ohio State team that was led by another guy that's going to be picked in the first round of the draft. So, look, I think Mac Jones is going to be great at the next level. I really do. He's smart. I think this is what is going unnoticed about him. Yeah, he does have a lot of talent around him. There's no doubt. But, you know, he was also able to sit behind Jalen Hurts, who's an NFL starter, Tua Tagovailoa, who's an NFL starter. He's had offensive coordinators that have and coaches that have had a lot of NFL experience, and he was patient. And I think some NFL guys have forgotten what it's like to deal with a kid that's, hey, I'm willing to learn here. I don't have to come in and be the man. Now, he's going to be drafted probably number three, you know, to number 10, somewhere in there. So wherever he goes in the NFL now, you know how it is. A quarterback's going to be, if you're in the first round, they're going to expect you to be the man immediately. But if Mac Jones does go somewhere like the Chicago, for instance, or the 49ers, or anywhere like that, he might be able to sit for a year and learn, and he will pick it up incredibly well because he's a very cerebral kid. He's just got a great head on his shoulders. He's got that fantastic combination of confidence without being cocky. I mean, he loves to have fun, but he's also very serious. I think Mac Jones is going to be great at the next level. I really do. I wouldn't have said that going into this past year. I'll give that mea culpa. I thought that Bryce Young, who will be Alabama's starter this year, would have overtaken Mac Jones. Bryce Young was number one quarterback in the country coming out of California the previous season. He's dynamic, but Mac Jones just wouldn't let him have it. And I think there's something to be said for that. So while he was surrounded by all this talent, and that counts for something, he also fought off a kid that was the number one prospect in the country for his class. And I think that needs to be said and understood so that you can realize, hey, Mac Jones wasn't just handed the keys to a Ferrari.
He definitely was not handed the keys, but he did some great driving once he was behind the wheel. And we'll get into a little bit more of how he was able to perform so well and how that projects to the NFL next on Locked On Bears. The odds makers over at betonline.ag don't think the Chicago Bears will make the playoffs in 2021. Not only does their season team win total start at over under 7 wins this year, they also have specific odds straight up. Do the Chicago Bears make the playoffs? Yes or no? And right now the money is on no, with the line set at minus 290, but you can bet yes for plus 230 and get double your money back on that bet if the Chicago Bears make the playoffs. That's going to require them to win more than 7 games too, so you can double down on the same bet and really cash in. If you bet the over on the 7 win total, that one even at a minus 115 on both the over and under at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and enter our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your free 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts. We are halfway through the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 here on the Locked On Podcast Network with analysis from NFL experts Michael Irving and Brian Baldinger, plus our local experts for every team, myself included, making some trades and picking the next stars of our rosters. I believe tomorrow is when we will get to pick number 20 and the Chicago Bears, and we're going to have to break down everything that went into that selection as well. So go search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're breaking down Mac Jones and the other Alabama prospects with Luke Robinson from Locked On Bama. And Luke, when you think about some of the things we saw from him in just one season, do you feel like, I guess, how much more do you feel like there is for Mac Jones to show? Like, do you think the supporting cast gave him the opportunity to show his full repertoire given the support that he had, or is there more here that because he could dump it off to a receiver that could make big plays, that maybe he wasn't asked to do as many spectacular things that maybe in a different circumstance he could do more? Yeah, I guess like how much was he allowed to do? How much was he asked to do in that Alabama offense?
You know, couldn't this be spun another way where you say, okay, because he has so much talent, wouldn't that mean he has all this pressure to perform even better, to keep up with that talent? And I think Mac Jones did an incredible job of that. look, one of the ways Alabama beat people was, you know, look, they would get the ball to Najee Harris on a screen pass or something. And Najee Harris is a fantastic running back, the Doak Walker Award winner. He was number, what, 5 in the Heisman voting. So, I mean, yeah, he's really good. But the main way they were scoring, they were hitting people on deep balls. They were hitting people on slant patterns that were, I mean, just immaculately thrown. When you – defensive backs will tell you, look, if it's really hard to guard a slant, but the catch is it's also one of those things where if it's thrown just a little bit off, it's a lot easier to guard. But if it's thrown perfectly, it's tough to defend. And Mac Jones threw it really well, and he threw it to some dudes that knew what to do with it. And so I think there was some pressure on Mac to keep up with the talent around him, and he did a great job of that. So, look, again, Mac Jones is going to be – wherever he's drafted at this point now, people are going to say, ah, they wasted a draft pick too early to pick him, yada, yada, yada. That narrative is set in concrete at this point. It doesn't matter if he goes number 3 or number 15, which is the lowest I've seen him go. Somebody's going to say that was way too high for Mac Jones. And I'm going to be there to say, look, I don't think you're right. I think that if you'll let this play out just a little bit, you'll see Mac Jones can be a starter in this league. Is he going to be Aaron Rodgers? Probably not. But I think he can be a very, very good starter in this league, no doubt.
Let's get into that supporting cast a little bit. And I'm going to intentionally skip over Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, the two wide receivers, because they're both top 10 or very least top 15 draft picks that realistically aren't going to come anywhere near the Bears at the 20th spot. But that offensive line in particular is one where any of the three top guys in this draft are definitely in pretty much every team's draft range at this point. Alex Leatherwood, Landon Dickerson, and then Deonte Brown. How would you characterize, you know, like the offensive line as a whole in terms of what its identity was, what they did well, and how they were able to come together so well?
The offensive line, of course, they won the Joe Moore Award. They were just a mauling bunch, but they also were great in pass protection too. And again, the offensive line had pressure. That's the thing about having so much talent is you do have to keep up. And that's why Alabama is doing so well in these games, because, you know, this offensive line is going up against the likes of Christian Barmore every day in practice. They're going up against dudes like Quinnen Williams a couple of years ago. I mean, they're going up against Deshaun Hand, who's been in the NFL for a little bit now, Jonathan Allen. I mean, it's good on good, and iron sharpens iron when it comes to Alabama practices. And so the offensive line came together very well. And look, Landon Dickerson, he wasn't at Alabama very long. He's a transfer from Florida State. But he endeared himself to the fan base so quickly. Because at first you would think, okay, this dude's just mean, and that's great. I mean, you want your offensive lineman, you want your center to be mean and to be the kind of guy that's not going to let anybody touch his quarterback. But it wasn't just that. He also was full of personality. If you've seen any of these videos of him playing pranks on other guys, I mean, the guy took a cross tie and used it as a bumper on his truck. You know, it looked – he really did. I mean, that's not that. That's just something he did, which is very weird, but hilarious at the same time. And for some reason, I think anybody would have said, oh, yeah, that's something Landon Dickerson would do. Deonte Brown is another guy that's just really muscular, obviously very big guy, but just kind of fun loving. And these offensive linemen seem like almost like teddy bears off the field. Although you wouldn't want to mess with them, it just seemed like they were very approachable and good dudes to be around. And, you know, it was kind of refreshing to see, because a lot of time offensive linemen can be a little bit more businesslike, which is understandable. They don't get as much love. They don't get the accolades that some of these other guys get, like quarterback and wide receiver. But Landon Dickerson didn't care about all that. And I thought one of the better moments of the season was in the national championship game. Landon Dickerson, who was out for the game, he had a leg injury. The Alabama team decides to put him back out there. He had dressed out, and they put him back out there to let him snap the ball one final time. And I thought it was cool that Ohio State didn't do anything to try and hurt the guy. You know, everybody just knew, okay, this is Landon Dickerson's final snap at Alabama, and he deserves this moment. And he got it, and it was great. But he appreciated that from the coaching staff too. I just thought the offensive line was like a metaphor for the entire team. They all came together. They all seemed to like each other. There really wasn't any infighting. Bryce Young, the backup quarterback, five-star, like I said, number one prospect, he wasn't pouting. The Brian Robinson, who's going to come back and be Alabama starter running back this year, he wasn't sulking because Najee Harris was getting all the love. Jalen Waddle wasn't upset that Devontae Smith wins the Heisman. On and on into the night, I think everybody was pulling for everybody. And the offensive line was a fantastic symbol of that.
There's been some talk about maybe moving Alex Leatherwood back inside to guard at the NFL level. I know he started there a couple of years ago before they made the left tackle at Alabama. How did you see him match up with some top pass rushers and protect Mac Jones' blindside? Do you have any concerns about him, you know, holding up against speed guys out there?
Alex Leatherwood, he came to Alabama as a five-star. I thought he lived up to the hype for the most part. Is he going to be as decorated as maybe a DJ Fluker who just signed with the Dolphins, or maybe an Evan Neal who's going to be a thing? That's going to be somebody we talk about in the draft in a couple of years is Evan Neal. There's no doubt about that. But, Alex Leatherwood, I don't think there's a lot of doubt about what he can do. I think he can be a very solid NFL player for a while. I mean, I think he can be a 8 to 10 year guy, and we need to understand that he may not be an all-star offensive lineman, but he will be somebody that I think is a very, very solid contributor for a while. That's why I think he's a borderline first round guy. I've seen some mock drafts that have him going in the first round. It would shock me a little if he did, and if he does, I think that means Alabama's got seven first rounders in this draft, which would be absolutely incredible and set a record. I think Alex Leatherwood's going to be a really good player for 8 to 10 years, but do I see him as a future All-Pro? I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, it's not quite the same pedigree of offensive linemen for Alabama in this draft, but they do have some big names on the defensive end that we're going to go into on tomorrow's podcast with Luke Robinson, Patrick Surtain, Christian Barmore, and maybe an unheralded guy that's not getting nearly the attention of some of the other ones. So we will continue part two of our conversation. Make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. We're getting to know all of the bigger named prospects surrounding the Bears' early draft picks, all the main guys you need to know that could be donning the blue and orange next season. Trying to go a little bit in-depth to make sure that no one's going to surprise you too much out of left field. You never know what's going to happen on draft day, but if we can build a nice library of prospect understanding with some friends from the Locked On Podcast Network, I think it's a win-win for everybody. So I hope you're getting excited for the draft coming up on just about a week away. I hope the podcast is helping you get ready and, more importantly, helping you bear down.